aneladee@theparentmentor.com if you have any questions about those writing workshops. And once again, I want to announce the Colorado Commonwealth School training that will be in the Denver area. And that's that'll be April 29th and 30th. And for those of you who are interested in Commonwealth schools and want to create a better Commonwealth school or are interested in creating a Commonwealth school, I highly recommend attending the new Commonwealth school training. It's very well priced. It's $125, and it's a two-day event. It will be the one we're doing right in this year. The schedule right now is in Colorado. But if you feel like you have enough people to attend a Commonwealth school training, we would be happy to come to your area and schedule something in your area. I have the privilege today of talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is the new Commonwealth schools. And I want to just let you know that Tiffany is with us today. She will not be speaking. She has laryngitis. And we have invited someone that I think is a great authority on new Commonwealth schools. She is from my community and has helped me build my Commonwealth school over the last 8 years. She has done an amazing work here in this community, has caught the vision and really done some great vision casting among the people in our community. I'd like to welcome Christina Wardrip. Christina, are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
I just want to take a few minutes to introduce you, Christina. Christina was the one who helped us develop the five-pillar tutorial for those who are looking to get a general classical education exposure. We first called it a survey in the classics, but people try to tell us it's a little more than a survey. Right, Christina?
Yeah.
They think that it's really a lot harder than that. She's done a fabulous job really refining that and making it available to the general public. And she's been our trainer for the Library Community Series for the last about 5 or 6 years, right?
Yes.
Christina? Yeah. And just jumped in with both feet and did her very best to make that happen, and didn't have a lot of experience at first with presenting in front of people and teaching, but she just was a natural at it. And since then, as a result of building our community, many, many doors have opened up for her. Her husband has been really active in our community. He's really helped our men, the fathers in our community, understand and step up to leadership in our school and leadership in our community. And he has developed a seminar kind of experience for families, and he and she together, called Historical Remnants. Her husband is a trapper and an outdoorsman, which I think is very, very wonderful, because I love the combination of the classics and the outdoors. Obviously, I don't think they clash. I think they're the same thing. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, the outdoors is definitely a classic.
And
you can learn something every time you're in them.
Yes, totally. There are some other things that you've been doing in your life recently. You've kind of stopped training with Lemmy because you felt a call to other things, and I just thought you'd take a few seconds to tell us some of the great adventures you've been having as a result of being involved in a community like the New Commonwealth School. Would you take just a minute and tell us about it?
Sure. Well, our the thing that we've been doing the longest is the historical remnants. It's basically a simulation experience where we take you out in the mountains and teach you historic skills, including the use of black powder rifle and flint and steel fire making. You connect with your, it's an opportunity to connect with nature and also with your heritage as you learn the skills that kept your ancestors alive. And when you come, you receive a leather-bound journal because there's lots of time throughout the weekend that you're given to reflect on what do these skills have to do with my life today. It really is a Georgic-type experience in the mountains. And we've just had, when we did it at the end of September, there were so many amazing connections made by the people. It basically was opened pathways for them to see themselves in new ways that you don't get until you put yourself in an unfamiliar setting like the outdoors. Because we definitely had some people that were very unfamiliar with the outdoors, and it was just amazing to see the transformation that just happened in a couple days.
Wow.
We had couples who just loved taking that time in a quiet place. We had somebody comment on what it had done for their marriage in the couple days. We had fathers and sons. We had a mother-daughter team that came together. It was just it was a great experience for all the youth and adults that were there. So
now, currently, you're kind of doing this to you're offering this to a general public. General public, that, you know, whoever is interested in reconnecting with the earth and reconnecting with themselves and their families, you've offered this amazing experience for. But can I ask you, would you be interested at all? I mean, you know, this is a big question, but would you be interested at all in offering something like this specific to our Commonwealth School community?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the way that it's written, I mean, that we put it on for the general public, it is already, I mean, just because the principles and learning environments of TJ Ed, I mean, they are us. So that is how we teach. So it would already be a situation where they could come in and they would really recognize the learning environments and things like that. Because, like I say, it is a simulation experience.
Okay.
Are you talking about having one that is just Commonwealth?
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, that kind of experience is just a great experience for families to have, to really make connection with the earth and with yourself and open yourself up to, you know, getting to know other people better in that kind of environment. I can't imagine anything better than having a community that you love, you share it with them. You know,
I think it would be. We had enough people from the Commonwealth schools, you know, across the West, come together. It could be amazing, because you are coming to a new experience of the outdoors and the things that Rob teaches, but we're also coming with a common language and a common background. And so you can, when you've got that common come from, you can go to higher places. So we would be interested in, you know, in coming to the ones that are put on for just anybody, but if there were enough people, certainly we would love to put one on for Commonwealth schools specifically.
Cool. Well, we might have to get you out there start offering something like that. I'd love to do that. I would like to ask you to just take a few minutes also and explain to us what the community has done for you and Rob and your family, the new Commonwealth School community that we've created here. What has it done for you?
Well, I see the Commonwealth community and my association with Lemmy is really being a seedbed for my family for growth. And, of course, we believe in you, not them. So as much as there has been amazing experiences for my youth, it's really been a growth experience for Rob and I That's where Rob began to have his first experiences with speaking in front of people. And from there, he's just continued to do it. He teaches for Weber County. He is doing trainings in body language now for businesses. He was just recently invited to speak at a franchise convention, which we'll be going to.
And he has a book proposal offer, right?
Yes. Actually, somebody sent some pictures to a publisher
from our Commonwealth School, right? From our Commonwealth School.
Yes, somebody from our Commonwealth School is filming the historical remnants for us, and he sent some pictures to a friend and said, look what I did this weekend. I attended this thing called Historical Remnants, and here were some pictures, and the guy wrote back and said, can this guy write a book? I'm interested in his topic. And so by spring, he's supposed to have a book proposal to this publisher.
And,
so just amazing things.
And Rob wouldn't have known this person if we hadn't had the Commonwealth School, right?
Well, right. The Commonwealth School has created pathways. As we have developed the culture here in South Davis, where not only the women work together and are friends, but the men have become friends, they open doors and create pathways for each other. It's been really exciting to see, because when that culture developed, it opened up just a whole new level of what the community could do for you when the men became involved and they became friends with each other.
It's kind of a networking experience, I think, personally. I mean, I think about our Commonwealth Fit now, and I was thinking about the meeting, our last parent workshop training that we all attended a couple of weeks ago, and the synergy that's among the men and women there, and the friendship that's being built there. And, you know, I love how the men and women begin to network together, saying, oh, you do that? Well, I do that too. Oh, I'm interested in this, you know.
Yeah.
It becomes a networking community, and not only a networking community that really can help each other grow in their own personal ways, but also a networking community that has a common language, so it's really quick and easy to become friends, right?
Yes, because they have a common thing of the education form that they've chosen for their children. But
right.
If they've got what's really been exciting is they get to know each other for who they are, aside from we're homeschool parents.
Right.
They know each other. What are you about? What are your passions? What do you do for a living? What, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we've begun to understand, you know, especially I think men have gone to a new level that way. When something comes across them, they're like, oh, Alan does that, or oh, so-and-so does that. You're right. It's become, as they've developed those relationships, because that's really how networking and business works. It's about the relationship and what are you about. And it was really exciting when this first began. At the end of the meeting, when the ladies are standing around waiting for the men to be finished talking, that was an exciting day. It really was.
It was.
And now
I have some fond memories of some of our parent workshop trainings. Now, in our Commonwealth School, we meet once a month as parents, and we do a parent workshop. So, and we take turns teaching that. Sometimes I teach it. Sometimes Rob and Christina have taught it, and we have kind of passed the baton that way. A couple of my favorite ones has been when we had, do you remember the one that Tricia, Leslie, and Dawn, who doesn't dance but now dances,
yeah.
taught? Tricia
actually,
Leslie,
that's when he started to dance with her, actually. She's a ballroom.
I know.
She's
I was
a ballroom
just thinking
dancer,
that in my
and her
mind.
Husband had never danced with her until we asked her to do a metaphoric thing on dance, and we talked. The whole debrief was about how do the language and things involved with dance have to do with your relationship. And from that time on, her husband now dances with her, is her partner. So
it's amazing. I mean, and she's a fabulous ballroom dancer. And I can't imagine being married for as many years as they were married, and him never dancing with her. Until you gave them that opportunity to teach us about leadership through dance, and voila, they have become a great partnership in dance. That was one of my favorites that you did with us. But I was thinking about, I think that was the day that I watched Wade Lake come up to, I know that Rob and Wade had been talking, but Wade Lake came up to your husband and handed him some metal.
Some junk.
A handful of metal. And all of us were kind of looking at this metal, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And he hands him this metal, and they're over there talking and having this amazing conversation about these pieces of metal. And
well, so Wade, because Wade is a welder, and Robda is a blacksmither. So the two came together, and they had this topic.
We had no idea what was going on, but something sparky was happening over there in the corner with metal. And once again, there you go, a relationship that came out of the New Commonwealth School, a community that would never have happened before. I don't think Wade and Rob would have ever had an opportunity to know each other before that.
Right.
And that's been a wonderful relationship for your husband, hasn't it?
Yes.
So just amazing benefits from having a networking community like ours that are coming together in common vision. You know, can I just change the direction here for just a minute? And would you like to go ahead and ask me some questions?
Sure.
Okay.
I have a list of questions here.
Okay.
Okay, so we've had, as we go around, you know, talk about the school that we have, people often ask, what is a Commonwealth school? What is the New Commonwealth School? Can you answer that in a kind of a concise answer?
Yeah, I can.
It's because it's very different than what people normally think of as a school. So
yes. Okay. So the short answer to that is a New Commonwealth School is a community of like-minded people who come together and create a contractual community. A group of people who come together, they're like-minded, and create a contractual community. Now, can I give a little background on that? Do you mind?
Well, please do.
Okay. So I remember several years ago, I don't even know how many years ago it was, I was first sitting down to read John Locke. Now, you have to understand a little bit. I can't come from a background in the theater art, and I have never been much of a reader, and I came across TJ Ed and wanted to do that with my children. I felt like I had already been doing a love of learning and core phase with my children really well, so it really meshed with what I wanted to do. And I knew that next phase for my family was scholar phase, and it was probably scholar phase for me too. And so I got myself a mentor, which was Tiffany Earle. Thank you for all of your love and support, Tiffany. And I can remember some of the first books that she asked me to read, and how difficult it was for me to commit to anything like that. My reading level, you know, I could read books, that's obviously, right? But my reading level or my patience level for a classic such as Montesquieu or anything philosophical, Aristotle, anything like that, was really not developed in any way. And she first had me reading the book. One of the very, very first books that I read that she gave to me was The 5,000-Year Leap. She challenged me to read the Making of America, and I was like, no, I don't think so.
Too big.
So I read The 5,000-Year Leap, which I think is a great start, like great place to start. It's a very easy read. It got me thinking about what is government, and wow, just just really started me thinking down those lines of how do you create government and the whole creative process of community. And in his 5,000-year leap, he talks about John Locke in there, and I did pick up the book, The Second Treatise on Government by John Locke, because he does talk a lot about that, and it was a very difficult read for me. But in the 5,000-year leap, he refers to creating contractual relationships. And so when I started to reading John Locke, he gave the definition and a word of what a contractual relationship between like-minded people is. And he called that a commonwealth. Now, I have since come to realize that the word commonwealth is found in my core book, the Bible. And it gives a definition of commonwealth in that, in my core book, and it gives a definition of commonwealth. There are many places to find a definition of commonwealth, but all of them are very similar. But basically, it's a contractual relationship with like-minded people who have a vision in mind of where what they want to do.
So you, when you say contractual, you mean some people that come together that have something to offer. I can give this. Well, I can give this. And there's a...
Yeah, uh-huh. Like, if you were creating a commonwealth in your community, which your community is a commonwealth, obviously, your city is a commonwealth, so you would get together. If you were creating your city, you would say, okay, I have this piece of property, and you have this piece of property, and you have this piece of property, and what we want to be able to do is manage a city together so that we have general rules that we all follow, so that we don't plunder each other, so that we don't get in each other's way, so that we know that our very healthy boundaries with each other. And so
we come together to build the infrastructure so that we have lights and sewer.
Exactly.
And things like that.
And streets and yeah.
So something that we couldn't do alone, we can come together to do.
Yeah, and then your work together is exponential, because all of a sudden you've created this wonderful, safe community where in the olden days when Indians were all about, they would create these little communities, and at first they started creating these forts, and they were their little commonwealth, where they would have governance, and they would have common cause and common vision, and they would be safe within those forts, and that continued to spread and expand, and you become bigger and bigger, and you have to create small commonwealths and larger commonwealths. And so commonwealths are at many different levels. You know, the United States of America would be called, it'd be considered a commonwealth, because it's contractual. We have a constitution that governs us. And as long as we stay within the bounds of our constitution, the contract that we have together, then we have a working community that can keep the vision of the community, and we can continue to function as the community was meant to function.
Okay, so from that, can you explain the difference then between a new commonwealth school and, say, like a co-op?
Okay. Yeah, most co-ops, now I'm going to make a distinction here, because I do believe there are some communities that call themselves co-ops that would probably fit under the definition of a commonwealth, because they do have a contract. So I'm going to define the co-op as a bunch of families or mothers coming together who say, hey, it would be a really good idea for us to do classes together, and I can do this, and you can do that, and we can do this, eventually, what ends up happening with a co-op, I've seen all the time, it ends up becoming a mom school, because a co-op does not work unless you have some kind of contract that helps you govern it. a cult will work 4 or 5 years, maybe at the most, and then it will become a mom school because people will realize how important it is to have strong central
leadership.
Central leadership, right? And so a few moms will take the ball and roll with that, and then it becomes a mom school, which you know, if you want to be part of our mom school, you can come and you can, and I'm in charge, and what I say goes, which is another great way to have a group kind of come together under common cause. It's just that you have no voice and no say in what happens in the school, and it is at the whim of the mother or the group of mothers, maybe the two or three that are in charge of the school, and so you never really have a leadership opportunity in that school. Now, I think a mom school is really a great way to do things. I know there are a couple in California who have fabulous mom schools, and if that's what's working for your community, by all means, continue to do that for your community. The best thing about a Commonwealth is it spreads the leadership opportunity. It gives everyone an opportunity to stand up and say, you know, I'd like to take the chance, take the opportunity, and do something more than just be a parent assist in a classroom. And
well, I think that's really important in when you're applying, you, not them. I feel like the leadership, the field experience, basically field experience,
right,
of leadership or the teaching is a huge part of the education that your children can see you do.
Yeah.
They,
I mean,
can see
I'm thinking of our the chairman of the board right now, Tammy Duggar. I mean, honestly, You've known Tammy a pretty long time. Very quiet. Not very outspoken. Could be easily looked over. But, oh, my gosh, what a powerhouse.
She's a little giant. She's physically small. But there's this little giant in there.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, someone like you and I, who are very powerful people, could have easily overlooked her great leadership abilities because, you know, you and I are really powerful people. And and she may never have had the opportunity to really have the leadership she's got today. I'm telling you what, she impresses me.
Mm-hmm.
She's a better leader than I am. We each have our own qualities that are good, but
well, that's an interesting thing that it is a phenomenon that I've noticed in these past few years. I feel like as the chairman of the Commonwealth has served in our area, it's been really interesting to me to see that they had the strengths and talents and abilities to give the Commonwealth School what it needed right then. Because we're all very different. But
yeah.
I can look back over the past 5 years and say, that person was the right for the job, right person for that job right then. And then
yeah.
the next chairman, that person was the right person for the job at that
yeah.
point. And I think
right.
Tammy has currently, you know, the talents and abilities for what we need right now. It just
yeah.
keeps happening. So,
and we've had many, many chairmen who have taken our school in different directions and done different things that have really made our community strong and very scholastically minded, which and very scholarly. It's been. And people who just aren't naturally in charge kind of people have just stepped up and been able to really practice their leadership. It's been the great blessing of Commonwealth.
I think a really important piece was, you know, 2 years ago, rewriting our Constitution. We'd been doing it long enough to be able to see that what we really want. And
yeah.
that whole experience
of writing the Constitution together. Mm-hmm.
Yes, of working on that together and saying, what is it we really want? What forms do we really want? How are we going to facilitate that? And we have that now as a guide. So you get, there as people come in and out, that stands steady while you also get the advantage of individual talent and leadership styles and so forth.
Right.
But that document holds the line.
Right. So going back to that, so a co-op would not have a document that holds them together, which delineates the governance. So that would be the biggest difference right there. Our document says, you know, we have a chairman, we have a vice chairman, we have a treasurer, we have a principal mentor, and these positions need to be filled. And that's our central governance of this school. A co-op would not have that kind of document. A co-op that does have a document that does that, that spreads the leadership out, would be considered a Commonwealth school to me. Now, our Commonwealth is obviously a Thomas Jefferson Education Commonwealth. So our Commonwealth is going to have the scholar projects. Now, which, like I said, I think there are some other Christian organizations that have Commonwealths that have contractual relationships with each other. And they have a specific kind of education that they do. That would be a really the characteristic of a Commonwealth school is that they have an educational philosophy that they follow. Okay, so mm-hmm. ours is Thomas Jefferson Education, LEMI specific. Our Commonwealth is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Okay, so. Yeah, I think that's a good description of the contrast of those two. Now, what about private schools?
Okay.
How is a new Commonwealth school different than a private school?
Okay. Can I mention one more thing about Commonwealth? Because it's going to go into private school. So both Commonwealths and private schools are really open to the free market. They're not a closed system, which I think is really important for people to understand because lots of co-ops are closed to other people outside of them. The Commonwealth School has a unique vision, and it's very similar to a private school kind of vision. We're open to the free market, anyone who'd like to come and join us. And when we are full, because we have a capacity, when we're full, we provide a way to create a new community. Which we've done several times, right?
Mm-hmm. Purposeful splits, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's not happy. Nobody likes it. Everybody hates it. You know, I'm losing my friends, all that kind of stuff. And it can be pretty rocky and scary and all that kind of stuff. But this split is provided for because we have a capacity limit. And it's provided for because we want to spread that vision. We want that.
Well, I think even though, as I'm just looking back on the last one that we did, I think it was painful at first, but I definitely think it came to the advantage of everybody because it was a kind of a geographic split. They were doing quite a lot of traveling.
Right.
And when we have things, you know, movie nights and things outside of class, that gets kind of hard when you're doing, you know, two and three times a week. And then there was a big growth. Construction growth up in the north end of Davis County, and it was so that Commonwealth School was now there as that area grew.
Right.
Their Commonwealth School grew.
Right.
And they
now
were,
we provided for that Commonwealth School to happen, and we gave them seed money, and which is really important. Our community, you know, has done what we can to help that community grow. Now it's their job to carry that vision. What we discovered as we divided off, that it became that community had a really hard time growing into a very full-fledged Commonwealth school because it really became a mom school because we handed off to very strong leadership who were trying to get the vision. Now, I don't think that that's a bad thing. I actually think that's probably normal and natural for you to provide for a Commonwealth school split, and the group that splits off becomes kind of a mom school so that they can continue the vision. A mom school kind of co-op because they have a document that leads them, but they still have to do the pains of growing and becoming a full-fledged. Don't you think that's true?
Well, yeah, I think because you have to have next generations of leadership coming up.
Right, and you have to start training them.
Yeah.
And you've left a community that's like ours, where almost all of our mothers are five-pillar certified. All of our fathers are heavily involved in the community who have the vision and understand why we get together as families, because the networking is so good for all of us. You know, so we have a very strong community that gets the vision of Commonwealth School. So going into a new community still is going to be, the burden of spreading the vision is going to be on that small group of leadership that we pass off, which
yeah.
I think the people in the North have done a great job. Now, you asked me the question, what's the difference between Commonwealth School and a private school? Obviously, the biggest difference is going to be the cost, right? We probably could be considered a private school. We have not registered as one, but we registered as a what do we call ourselves?
An association.
An association. Yeah, we've registered ourselves as an association. But so that's going to be the biggest thing, is that the cost and obviously the governance. You know, in a private school, how many times do you get to go into a private school and say, okay, I'm a parent of a youth in this community. What do you have for me? Do you have anything for me that I can learn?
Well, I just thought of an example of something that we've experienced that maybe kind of shows this. We've been twice now put together. We started with you doing the Washington, D.C. trip as kind of a culmination above and beyond for Key of Liberty and Sword of Freedom. And when I was serving as the chairman, the parents were hearing about this. Parents were hearing about this, and the kids were talking about as if we were going, you know, we're going, and it was really intended, you know, to inspire them. But some of the parents were like, wait a minute, I never agreed to that, you know. So we ended up having a discussion over it, and we were talking about, you know, how should things like that, you know, if something that big is going to be put out to the kids, should it go through the parents first and so on, you know, because somebody's like, wait a minute. And anyway, we ended up having this great discussion about the form that we were choosing in the Commonwealth School. We have a governing board, and so the question is, well, does the board have to approve something like that and so on? And you taught us something really profound that day. You said, this is actually a decision about the form we choose. And I turned to you and I said, okay, you are the founder of the idea of the new Commonwealth School. What was the intention? Is it parent-based? Is it school board-based? Because we have a, you know, quote-unquote school board. We have a governing board. And do you remember what you answered?
Well, I can't remember exactly. I know what we came to, but I remember what I answered. Do you?
You said you gave us a little bit of education history about the school board, and you said, that is not what I intended. That we don't all of a sudden have a school board that makes decisions for the education for our children. Our structure is sovereign families coming together, so that the parents have a voice.
Right.
And that was just, that was really profound for everybody sitting there, because how often do you, in life do you actually get empowered like that?
Right.
I think what we normally experience in life is somebody trying to take your power.
Right.
And so it was just this kind of this wash that came over the meeting is, wow, we have a lot of power. And so when we chose our form, it's like, okay, well, let's, if something like this can come up, we decided our policy, right? So that things were handled correctly. But we chose the form first. And that was that was a really profound experience, I think, for everybody in that meeting to remember, let's look at form first, then we can decide the policy based on the form we choose.
So, and I'd like to bring up also, you and I remember going to that meeting, and it was an intense meeting. You know, there were some high emotions there in that meeting, and we could have easily blown up with each other and ruined our relationships. But I believe because we have strong vision, we have strong relationships, it was much easier for us and to bridle our passions, to think logically through this, and come to a synergistic decision instead of, you know, getting all huffy and walking away and saying, okay, I'm done with these people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that, I was just going to do a comparison, in my church, I noticed that that's the thing that keeps them together too, when we have discussions about, you know, I sit on the council, and when we have discussions that are difficult things to talk about, the thing that keeps us together is our common vision of what we're trying to accomplish. Even though we may, as humans, disagree and fight with one another, we have to go back to the form every single time. And the form is what tells us what we want to do, or what our next step should be, right?
Mm-hmm. So I think in that meeting, rather than having to go through what had happened, that somebody had, you know, what had happened had kind of bothered some people, we were able to look forward and say, okay, we learned from this. Now, what form are we choosing, and how do we want to deal with it next time? I think that's what gave us the power to do that.
Right. And it's good training for all of us. So,
absolutely.
So I you asked the question, how is it different from private school? And I would have to say, the main things is the governance. We are the governed. Of course, we have common vision, which and the common educational philosophy, which is our Thomas Jefferson education, and we are specifically LEMY. And the private school obviously is more expensive than a Commonwealth school. But I'm going to tell you the thing that's just the most important to me is that you cannot walk into a private school and say, I'm a parent of a child in this school. What do you have for me to learn? Do you have, and we offer adult classes in our Commonwealth school, and we offer leadership opportunities in our Commonwealth school. We offer parent training in our Commonwealth school. And there we offer enough that these parents are doing you, not them. And that's our vision of Thomas Jefferson education, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that in a private school.
Well, you know, I'm passionate about that because, I mean, I worked with the Five Pillar in the Library Community Series for the last 7 years.
Right.
I'm passionate about you have to. That's why we have the quality of education that we have, is because we have people doing that.
Right.
And we're constantly seeking for the next generation to do that too.
Right.
I had a great conversation with one of the new families. We had several new families join us this last year, and I had the opportunity to serve as a parent assist with her one night for a movie night. And we were just talking, and I was kind of telling her this idea and how, you know, some of these kids that have come new, this is their first classroom experience. You know, so the first month, they're, you know, the parents are all nervous, oh, how's my child doing, you know? And I was just having a conversation with her about how the Commonwealth School, you come and invest in the Commonwealth School, we're completely open. If you want what we have to offer, come on. You know, here's some things we ask you to do so that you can be a participating citizen in the community. But when you choose to do that, we will work with you. We will work with your child. We will help
yeah.
move them through the scholar projects and develop those skills.
And we will love you, and we will love your child, and you will become, you know, we will invest in you.
Right. And that's when you talked about contractual agreement earlier, you know, you come and give something, you come and offer yourself to this community, the other members of the community will go the lengths to support you and your family.
Right, which
in
is one of the
growth,
impacts.
Because we've been given that same opportunity. And she says, that is so neat that you're so open like that. She says, I think if I had started something like this, I would tend to want to say, okay, no, you know, just here, because you think you've got something good, you got to hold on to it tight. And so she just smiled and said, that is so neat that you're so open like that.
Which is one of the impacts of a new Commonwealth school. That's the legacy we're leaving behind, is openness. Let's help each other in this common cause. Now, we have to create a contractual relationship, because it's the bonds that make us free.
Right.
When we have a contract that continues to tell us how to behave with one another, it makes it so that we can be open. We don't have anything to fear.
Right. And you constantly have the newness coming in. I mean, if you think about it, over the last several years, the people that are leaders in our school today came in new. I mean, if we had been closed, we wouldn't have the blessing of having them as a part of our community. I mean, we're all new
right.
at one point. But
right.
I agree with you that contract, holding the line and saying, this is what this school is about, you know, if that's what you want for your family, come on in. And it holds the line, yet it allows for just a constant flow of growth and leadership and newness.
Right.
So.
Very good. Do you have any other questions that you want to, that you have for me, or...
No, I was gonna, you know, ask some more about you know the long term effects. But I think we've talked about several of them.
Okay.
I think we've really, unless you have something else about the, you know, any as you see.
Well, the long term effects of the new Commonwealth School. Well, I think it changes culture. And I think that's what we're trying to do, right, Christina. We come from a culture that is very a conveyor belt-ish, and it's very interesting. I'm getting my master's degree in education at George University right now. It's been a really wonderful experience for me, because I've had to read a lot of books about the conversation of education. And what I think is interesting is I'll read a book about right now I'm reading one called the Global Achievement Gap. And I'm reading the book, and they're talking about, oh, we have all these problems with education, and we're not prepared for the new world, and blah, 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 blah. And I keep thinking, wow, I have all the answers.
That just caused me to think about something. So you're teaching our parent mentor workshops this year. And, you know, you and I have had so many discussions over education as we worked with the Five Pillar together in the Library Community Series and, you know, in our own Commonwealth School. And it was so exciting to me when you came to our first meeting, and you had this grid. You had us fold our paper so that we could do a comparison of these different kind of forms. And it was... And you were talking about the trend in education and what had happened, you know, what had previously happened, what results it had, and so forth. And it was so neat for me to see how you have all these years of this research and study and field experience that you've been having, you put it all together in this format of a big picture of a comparison of these things.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I mean, it was kind of neat for me, because I thought, I've been in on those discussions with you. We've talked over things, and you're systematizing it now, you know. and I believe, you know, that you've been spending years to be able to get to that place.
Bringing that up, I wanted to tell you something. I was talking to my mentor on the phone the other day, and we were chatting about my undergraduate degree and some of the life experience credits that I've been awarded by Georgia with University and how I wanted to go on to get my PhD. And she said, you know, if you have this life experience credit that you were awarded by Georgia with University, she said, you know, when you get famous, someone's going to go back and look at that, and they're going to question it. She says, you know, let's change that. Let's work on that and fix that a little bit, because when you get famous, I keep thinking, oh my gosh, when I get what?
Was I planning to get famous?
And she said, Anelody, you have the answers. These are the answers everybody's looking for. Everybody is looking for these answers. Now, this is going to be really hard for people to do. That's the big thing. Because it takes sacrifice, it takes commitment, it takes vision, it takes work, it takes becoming a leader, it takes stepping up and doing something different, you know, all of those things it takes.
It takes a lot of things that society doesn't encourage us to do.
Right, because we've come
out
of
the airboat. That's why Rob and I do the things we do, because we feel like what is being taught in our society is dependence. And we feel like that in the things that we teach and in the outdoor venue, it takes you back to the heritage of those kind of things, where to the people who carved a nation out of the wilderness. And what qualities and traits did they have to be able to do that?
And how important it is for you to make connection with that.
Yes.
Because what it does is it reinfuses you with vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a whole a new perspective, a fresh perspective of where you are and what you're doing and how you're making a difference.
I think it gives you courage. You know, when somebody's able to build a fire with a piece of metal and a rock, there's something happens inside of you, because you just created fire with a piece of metal and a rock.
Wow.
Something switches inside of you, a confidence that you can learn, and that you can provide for yourself. And it's very fundamental to the things that you're talking about that are going to be needed in the future of education.
And don't you think that our entire goal for what you and I are doing and for what the Commonwealth is trying to accomplish is that culture change? We are trying to create a new culture. And I think, as I've been reading these books, that's the big problem right there. People, only one of the books I've read have addressed the need to change the culture. Most of the books address all of the issues that have come out of a culture that's been created through a conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's a lot of issues, yeah.
But they won't address the culture itself, where families are real, true families. Now, you and I have experienced, and you know, I feel like in our Commonwealth School, we've had this amazing opportunity to see families grow, but we also have seen families fall apart, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's been very painful to watch. And we knew that the infrastructure of their families was weak. And we could see, you know, immediately from the beginning that this is going to have some problems for that family. But I also feel like I have some friends who have had some weak infrastructure in their family, and the Commonwealth School has only invited them to the table of strong family leadership.
Well, and I think that's what that Rob has been able to bring, because I think he has invited the men of our community to lead their families.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that whole metaphor of the dance was about, you know, the roles as the dance of your relationship, and that we
right.
have certain roles. And the leadership is, we have to have the leadership start in the family if we want this kind of culture change. And I think society,
right.
I think society tears that down too. And
right.
So
I think as these people become more liber, as we invite them to become more educated in whatever way that they choose to become educated, but become more liber, they become inspired to become greater leaders in their family, that their families are becoming stronger and having stronger infrastructure because of their education they're getting in the Commonwealth School.
Well, I think as the, you know, particularly the men, a big concern for them is providing for their family. And so with the beauty that I've seen is the growth of education and understanding of leadership, learning from the past so that we can move forward, but also being able to capitalize on that person's genius.
Right.
I think conveyor belt education, I mean, that's some of the issues I think have come out of that form of education. Is you do it this way. This is what you have to do. The dangling of the I'm so sorry. The dangling of the carrot thing.
Yeah.
Where I believe the Commonwealth School is a seedbed for personal development of your genius. And I think in our Commonwealth School, the men, I think, particularly, are getting new visions of themselves.
Yes.
And their greatness.
Right.
That perhaps, I know my husband specifically, I want to do what I love to do and provide for my family doing it. And I think there are most any provider out there would want that.
And the thing that I love about how Rob's attitude is, I want to do what I want to do and provide for my family, and what he does isn't specific to our Commonwealth School. It's, you know, we don't have Rob doing historical remnants in our Commonwealth School, but what we do have, well, Rob's teaching art class, but his children are involved in a community that may not be what his family focus is, but he knows that this is an important component for his family's growth. So, mm-hmm. you know, your kids are different from my kids. Your kids mm-hmm. go out trapping and they go out, you know, falconing, and they have a whole special language they use among themselves that all the other kids in the co-op and in the Commonwealth are like, whoa, what's that, you know? And my children are the same way. We have now, my children happen to be very involved with arts. So, you know, I have a dancing son, and you know, we have music and art is big in our family, but we have our own music and art language that we have separate from the Commonwealth. But it doesn't mean that we don't need the Commonwealth. I know some people who say, oh, that stuff that they do in the Commonwealth is not what our family does.
Oh, I think it's absolutely about bringing your personal and family genius to the Commonwealth School, and that we're all
right.
better because of it.
Right.
You know, my oldest son, Christian, his passion is the legislature. He loves it. And, you know, you helped facilitate an opportunity for him to go intern at the Capitol. So even though, you know, our family has kind of a culture, there's so much crossover because it's
right.
all about... It's about family culture, but it's about personal genius too.
Yeah, and it all can be because of the networking that we have in this community that we can grow together. Just one other point I wanted to make about the difference that Commonwealth Schools are making is it helps us. Remember, we were talking about that being open, having that open feeling for each other. That's a feeling of educable. We can be taught by each other,
yeah.
and we can teach each other. That really open feeling of educable. Can I ask you a couple of questions I think are going to be really important? I'm hoping that we'll answer some people's questions by these questions.
Sure.
Can you tell me what are the roles that make up Commonwealth School? What are the board members, what are the names of those?
Well, under our Constitution, it provides for a chairman who has some really important roles. One of them is to hold the vision, and to, as we make decisions and issues come up, to hold the vision and say, well, but this is where we're going, so how does what we're addressing right now tie in with that vision of great education? The chairman needs to have some strong leadership skills. In our Constitution, we ask for certain positions on the board to have certain, either a five-pillar certification or having taught a LEMI project or something, because it's very important to be able to have that vision. And so certain positions on our board ask for certain qualifications.
Okay.
So the chairman works with the board, who is working with various aspects of the school. So they need to have a broad picture and to be able to work with people and to be able to bring the people together and kind of synergize all the different components of the school. You know, some organization skills be really important for a chairman. I think one thing that's really important for a chairman is to have a yes mentality.
I can give
a kind of an example of this that was that we've kind of adopted in our school, and that is a few years back, Dr. DeMille, we were at a training, advanced Commonwealth training down at George Wythe, and Dr. DeMille taught us the concept of the principal mentor, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But so he said the principal mentor's job, he taught us the history of the principal, and he said now they do a lot of administrative work. He said actually that belongs with the administrative person, like the chairman, in the case of the new Commonwealth School. And he said it's the chairman's job to help provide the things the principal mentor needs to have great education in the school. That's the principal mentor's job, is to maintain great education, because what's the point, you know, if you don't? And so he taught us this concept of how those two work in relationship with each other. And so we go to dinner after, before we drive back to Salt Lake, and Melissa Howell, who was serving as our chairman at the time, and you were serving as the principal mentor, I remember Melissa turned to you and said, okay, Anelody, what do you need? What do we need for great education? I thought it was amazing how she did that. And it was just a simple question, and you said, really? Somebody's asking me this?
Because
I mean, your face lit up like, really? You really want to know? You said, I need trained parents. I need great parent mentors. And that's when we begin to build the structure of our parent mentor program, of just different things in our school where we could provide that opportunity for parents to learn that.
And I think that one question changed the dynamic in our school completely. Changed the culture of our school.
Oh yeah, I think that was the beginning when we understood that relationship, and when the chairman was willing to be open to say, what do you need? And so then I know that when we worked together, I was the chairman, you were the principal mentor, you know, you'd come to me and say, we need such and such. I feel like this. We need this. And so then you and I would brainstorm. You know, I'm the logistics side of it, so I'd say, you know, well, we need to consider this. How's this going to work with the building or the whatever? But we would have this working together relationship.
Yeah, very synergistic, I feel. And might I add, working with you was, for me, a wonderful experience, because two things I really liked about working with you as the chairman is you had a great yes mentality. I could come to you and say, this is what we need. And you could say, okay, how do we do it? But on the other hand, you had very strong boundaries. You knew exactly what was right and good and what was not right and good. And so when something would happen, you would be able to go back to the Constitution that we share or our contract that we share, and you'd be able to say, I'm going to have to say a no to that one because it's not within our ability to do that in our contract.
Yes. At times we'd have to go back to that, and I became very familiar with it, so I could say, well, the Constitution says this. This is what the parents wanted.
Right.
And so we have to, you know, there's a boundary here that we need to stay within. You know, perhaps that's not our job to provide that or something.
Right.
I think we had many discussions.
Many,
most of
yes.
the time, we were able to get to the place of we somehow facilitated it.
Right. Because you had a yes mentality.
Yes, but it was very important to stay within the bounds of the contract we'd set up. And so
right.
it was a...
Which I think is the biggest problem with our Constitution today in the United States is that we do not stay within our constitutional boundaries.
Right. You want something done, you just push it through.
Right. And
going
in
right
my
over
opinion,
it.
That's not a yes mentality. That's not.
Mm-hmm.
What that is I'm in charge and I get to have what I want mentality.
Right, right. Okay, so I've talked about the chairman and the relationship with the principal mentor. The Constitution, our Constitution outlines a chairman, a vice chairman, who is really there to counsel with the chairman and to, you know, to help take up slack, to cover the meetings. And our chairman serves as our enrollment specialist. When new families come, the vice chairman works them through the process. These are the things we ask of you to do. This is what we can provide for you. This is how you can facilitate it. And they work with that end. They work a lot with the education of the adults as they come and join this community. And then our third member of the executive board is our treasurer, and you know how important treasurers are.
Yeah.
The book. They keep the
so
books. Tell us
you've
what
told
class.
Chairman, vice chairman, and treasurer. That's the executive board.
That's the executive board, and there's
okay.
certain decisions outlined in the Constitution that the executive board, they're responsible for.
Okay. So why is the principal mentor not on that board?
For one, it's kind of a checks and balances. We all through our Constitution, we put in checks and balances. And most often, the decisions that are outlined for the executive board that they're responsible for are more administrative, logistical type decisions.
Okay.
And so you keep those two. There again, it's a boundary thing. You keep the two so that they kind of counter
complement each other.
Complement each other, really. I want to say checks and balances, which it is, but it's also a complementary system.
Yeah, okay. So that you can free up the principal mentor to really focus on not logistics, but
right.
The quality. So there's
right.
there's the logistics of the day-to-day routine, the day-to-day taking care of the administration, and then there's the quality that we're working on.
Yes, because the principal mentor, we want their focus to be in the quality of education and working with the teachers and mentors and watching the students so that they know what our next step is. We don't want them cumbered up with administrative stuff.
And I have to tell you, I think Lemmy did a genius thing this year, and I'm really hoping everybody does this, and that is we have the conference call that we're on once a month together, and so that we continue our training. And once a month, now we get together as a school, all of the mentors in our school, on a conference call to discuss a principle, and we can talk about the logistics of our school. It's just genius to me. I'm hoping that everyone is taking advantage of that.
It actually fits very well with what we put in our Constitution a couple of years ago, is that, you know, the principal mentor is responsible for the continued training and counsel of the mentors. And so it outlines, they're supposed to meet with them on, you know, occasionally. I mean, you know, it's not an excessive amount. It's just they are supposed to be in contact with them. So that system actually fits our, you know, our outlined form.
And we've taken advantage of that and really, and really, it's really helped us. Okay, so we've talked about the four. Are there other board members?
There are other board members. In our constitution, it says that these are the basic that we need to have. But if there's resources available, and we're so glad when there are resources available, because then we share the work. There is a secretary, registrar, so that they work. I mentioned that the vice chairman is the enrollment person. But the vice chairman doesn't have to do all of, if we have the resources to have a secretary registrar, the registrar does a lot of the computer work, a lot of the logistical things facilitating registration. Our systems are such that, you know, when you register, automatically your student manuals and everything is all facilitated through the school just because we have a secretary registrar that's got that system all set up.
Now we have a Ning, so everything, all of our stuff, we have a genius who set this all up online. So we do all of this online now,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Right. And Melanie, she gets all of it in there. Of course, the payments go to the treasurer, but the facilitating of getting everybody registered goes to Melanie.
And she is the moderator of the Ning.
Yes. Keeps track of things there and puts the descriptions of the, you know, or of course we have scholar projects, which the descriptions don't change, but when we add a speech class or when we add an art class or something, she makes sure that those descriptions or those offerings are put on there.
And for anybody who's on this call today, it's really, the Ning has really facilitated all of our needs, hasn't it, Christina?
I think so, yeah. It's more of our working thing for members. For people who are already members of SDLA to facilitate getting the registration done, we actually have
created... And it's a blog spot, and we can send out blasts from it, so it goes to all of the members of our community. And I mean, we've done some wonderful things with that Ning. It's very handy.
We've developed a landing page or a site for people who are coming new to the school to tell them what we're about. It is a little bit different place, but that Ning is the working section.
So Ning, N-I-N-G, right? They can just go to Ning.com?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now ours is free, right?
It was free the first year. I think they added some features, and there may be like a $10 or $15 a year thing if you want those
really
extra features. Something like that. Melanie would know that.
Cool.
Then we have a parent rep. Their responsibility is to work with the parents. Two major things that they do in our, we've outlined that we always want parent involvement in our classrooms, and we want the teachers supported, so that when you have, we meet at a local church, and so, you know, we have kids over there, and just for support of the teacher and for logistical things that may happen throughout the day, the classroom, we have a second adult in every classroom. And so our parents serve as what we call a parent assist, so that the teacher's attention is never drawn from their job. That other parent is there to back them up and do whatever things need to happen to help facilitate the class. And so the parent rep assigns all that and sets that all up. Every term they set up a new schedule of who's assigned to help in what classroom.
Cool.
And the other thing that they do is work with hearing the parents. If the parents have a concern, that is their pathway to have information sent to the board. And it's, we found that it, you know, it's really important that one thing we've asked for is if you have a concern, please come with a possible solutions also. Because there again, when we try to keep the boundaries, you can't have the chairman filter everything or you wear your chairman out.
Right, right,
and
exactly.
So we have a system in place where by which those things are facilitated. It comes up through the parent rep.
Right. Okay, one last question. Let me ask you. What is the role in the of the scholar projects in the new Commonwealth School?
I think the role of the scholar projects is to teach vision, mission, abilities, and skills. And the content is chosen very carefully, but the content is only a part of it, and that's one thing that we do when we have new families come in, is we have them go to an orientation meeting. We have them go to a LEMI training, or at least we have a way that they can listen to the first 3 hours of the LEMI philosophy so that they know what we're about, because we tell them from the beginning, you know, this isn't all about the content. It's about, you know, and making sure you get all the work in. Of course, we want the youth to finish the projects, but what we're most concerned about and the LEMI Scholar projects facilitate is the development that happens within these students as they are asked to do hard things.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Christina, Scholar projects, that it's for me, that's the thing that benefits my family the very most. My son has an amazing, fabulous Cape Liberty teacher this year who has inspired him beyond anything that we could ever have done. She takes opportunity almost every week to talk about scholar skills. And one of the things that she talks about continually is their time management. And just, you know, a reminder every day, remember that you need to make sure that you are scheduling your time so that you can manage all the things in your life. And then, you know, my son comes home all excited and fired up, and he fills out his planner, and we don't have to do that for him anymore because he's doing it because she's inspiring him to do that. Right. Not only that, she's talking to them about the importance of memorization, and she's giving them an opportunity. That's another scholar skill. She's giving the opportunity to memorize the Declaration of Independence in the classroom, but she's talking about memorization in general in life. He comes home and he memorizes scriptures on his own. He comes home and he memorizes music on his own because she said memorization is really important. So I know I have a piano lesson and I'd like to memorize this piece. His piano teacher didn't ask him to do that. I didn't ask him to do that, but his Cape Liberty teacher said memorization is really important. And then the other thing that she says is she's talked to him about consistency in our everyday school. I mean, this is a Key of Liberty class where they're learning early American history and constitutional principles, and he is coming home with so much more than that. And the other day, I walked in the room. A couple months ago, he made a goal to finish his math book that he's working on. And he said, I want to finish this book so that I can get on to the next book. And I said, okay, that sounds really great. And he says, my Key of Liberty teacher says that setting goals for my life is really important, and I think this is a really good goal. Once again, my Key of Liberty teacher is getting my son to do math. I walked in the room the other day. I walked in the room the other day, and he was doing his grammar. And I usually try to do grammar with the kids because, you know, I like to teach it. But the grammar book we have it's didactic. He can teach it himself. Well, I walked in there. He's done like 10 pages of grammar. I'm like, wow, you're really excited about that diagramming sentences. And he said, well, my Key of Liberty teacher says that if I know language really well, I'll be effective in life. And he said, and I discovered that diagramming sentences teaches me my language.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the impact of one Key of Liberty teacher in my family?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to educate new families to from the beginning, is that, you know, because we want them to understand that the scholar skills are different by nature than just a class that you're going to get through the content. They're about developing these skills and abilities, And, you know, if you think that it's just all about the content, you might be disappointed.
Yeah, you're going
because
to.
because we are concerned about the process. And I've, so far, I'm serving as the advisor for Shakespeare this year. We have two youth teachers teaching the class, and then I'm serving as the adult advisor. And so I'm in the back of the classroom all the time, and it's so interesting because we had this influx of new families to watch how these kids have eased their way. We had one who just wouldn't participate, and week by week I watch him. We've talked with the parent, I've talked with the youth teachers, and we are all in agreement that we let him participate where he can. And each week we watch him get a little closer and a little more involved, a little closer, a little more involved. And so it's just because it's not about you're not doing. It's let's take you where you're at and let's move forward. And I think
that's
scholar
so beautiful.
Projects provide for that.
Yeah, it's ingenious. It's so beautiful. The freedom that they have to choose into their own education.
Well, and I was asking you about the different forms earlier. I think that's one thing that is a benefit for the new Commonwealth School is the closeness you have with the teacher. I know I had some amazing things happen with my son last year because the teacher was willing to contact me and say, he's struggling here. You know, what do you think we should do? I don't think there's many forms of education where you get that.
Yeah.
And she was able to pick a part that he could be, that he got very comfortable in, and just working through it. It was a very good year for him. What looked like could have been a negative thing was turned to a positive because you had that closeness of the parent and the mentor working together to facilitate for the youth.
The openness, you know, you and I are very good friends, me and Tammy are very good friends because we have a community, this networking that we've created and the education that we share, and we trust each other. So if Natasha called me and said, you know, Matthias is doing this in class and I've noticed this is going on, and what can I do to help him and how can I be a better mentor for him?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I trust her.
Right. It's not about judgment. It's about facilitating for the youth. What can I provide? And I am so thankful for the mentors that my youth have had and the conversations we've been able to have so that I could give them the perspective of what I see as a parent because I know them very well, but they see them in a different context.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you bring the two together, it's very powerful, and I've had some great things happen where in another setting, you know, could have ended up negative.
Right. Hey, you know, it's getting late and we'd like to take some questions. So I'm hoping we answered a lot of your questions today, but I'm sure you have some questions and I'd like to open for a few minutes for questions. This is how we're going to do that. If you have a question, please press 5*. And when you hear your line say, line unmuted, go ahead and start talking. If you don't start talking, Tiffany, with her laryngitis voice, will read your phone number. So go ahead and push 5*. If you have a question for Christina and I on the New Commonwealth School. We'll give you just a minute to go ahead and get unmuted as Tiffany goes through those phone numbers, looking to see who has their hand up. Once again, it's 5*, and it should say.
Okay, can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can. Who is this?
This is Becky Sue Evans. I'm in Las Vegas.
Hi, Becky Sue.
And my position in our Commonwealth this year is to try to help the parents do their you're not them, I guess. And I'm wondering if that is something that you have written into your constitution that the parents when you say that you have your parents get together for each month for a workshop, is that something that they agree to? Is that something that's in the Constitution? How do you guys, what kind of policy does that take for you guys?
Christina, this is the question for you because you were the genius behind all of this. So I'm going to turn that over to you. And Becky Sue, excellent question. Thank you for asking that.
It really is an excellent question because I can tell you when we were writing our Constitution, this was a hot topic because we believe in Inspire, right?
Yes.
But it came down to the forms we were choosing. And we were working on the Constitution, and somebody asked the right question. I can't remember exactly what the question was, but this is what came out of it. If we choose to have people choose into education from the beginning, we were studying, what we were doing was, when we were working on our Constitution, several of us were taking a George Wythe extension class, a political science class, and we were reading John Locke and Plato and Aristotle, and so we had all of this, and for some field experience in the class, we were working on our Constitution. And so we'd been discussing all these, you know, these philosophies about, the need to regulate and so forth. And we decided that what we wanted was people to choose into the education from the beginning because we felt like that would cause us to have to regulate less later. So we took a leap and we decided to go ahead and make it an agreement from the beginning that you agree to attend a certain percentage of parent mentor workshops. So it is in the Constitution, and we, because we want to change the culture and we believe in the family unit, we require both parents to come. So they choose, so in the beginning, when they sign the member agreement, that is in there that they will do that. And
now Dionne Schetzel is kind of doing that in her community right now, Christina, and she's kind of contracted with you guys to do that for her community, hasn't she?
Yes, I'm actually going to be helping them work on their constitution because, you know, there were so many questions that came up. One thing I've noticed is I've worked with the communities, the Commonwealth schools over the last 7 years that I've worked with Liber Community, is that there are a lot of patterns in communities. You know, human nature and things they're similar. But each community has its own dynamic and its own spirit. And so what you want to do in a thing like that is to bring in the spirit of your community, but also, you know, choose your forms well. And so Rob and I have taught at a couple of their parent mentor workshops. Dionne is actually establishing the culture because she has been watching us here in South Davis, and she's worked with both Anelity and I. She is choosing her forms from the beginning, where we didn't always have the culture of both parents. Dionne and her group are choosing that from the beginning. And I think, you know, what a blessing to them. Because that's when things really started taking off. And so we decided, we had to make a decision. What do we want? And what we wanted was strong families, and we wanted people committed to becoming. Remember back when Melissa asked Anelity, what do you need for great education to happen in this school? She said, I need great parent mentors. So we decided way back, let's make that a part of it. If people don't want that, we're okay with that. But if they want what the great education we have to offer, that's what we need them to be willing to do.
Fantastic.
So it was.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, that really does. And that's I think where I tried to be this year, adding in, except for I made it a little larger where the parents could attend a gathering or a parent workshop meeting or a meeting of some kind, just wherever they had chosen to be. But I think that it needs to be a little bit more specific, and that's a discussion that we need to have among
us. Right, and you know what? You start where you're at.
Yeah.
But that's the point, and that's what I'm going to be helping the Salt Lake Commonwealth School with, is asking the questions, because the question you have to ask is, you know, what do we want? And we have to set up the systems to take us where we want to go. Because if you want one thing and you're setting up your systems in a different way, you're not going to get the result you want. And that's really what I'm going to be serving as a consultant for Dion's group, is to help ask those questions.
Cool. And are you available to do that for other people, Christina?
Sure.
Do you charge?
I think I would charge a little bit. I mean, I'm passionate about Commonwealth schools. I want to help where I can. But I do think it's reasonable to pay for some consulting. Because I think what it can do for you is save you. It can save you time, can save you energy, can save you a lot of things.
I'll have to put you on my consultants list and have people contact you. I know right now Brenda Hawes is one of our consultants for New Commonwealth School. So if you do need a consultant for that, she has a whole system set up. you can contact her at brendahawes@gmail.com. Or you can email me and I can forward you the information. But I'll add you on that, Christina.
Yeah, and what I'm going to be doing is in on their meetings. You know, some Commonwealth schools may need a system where Brenda takes you from this place to this place. What I am offering to Dion is, I mean, she's been mentored by me and by you through her experience with the LEMI projects. They're just to a place they need some consulting.
Yeah.
And so that would be the difference in what I have to offer and what Brenda does.
Yeah.
Mine is simply is a consulting. Hers is probably a program to teach you more.
No, hers is consulting. Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have any other questions, Tiffany?
No.
Okay. So we are at a place where we need to end. It's 9:37, and we're about 7 minutes over. This is what we're going to do. I am in the middle of finishing my master's thesis. I have sent out a survey to as many people on the LEMI loop as I possibly can to fill out for Commonwealth Schools and Scholar Projects. Today I'm going to be compiling all of that research and putting it together in my thesis. I need to encourage all of you to finish taking that survey today if you have not taken it, because I need it for today. I sent it out about a month ago. If you did not get a survey and would like one, please email my husband, who is in charge of the surveys, at Don L. Milne, Donl, his middle initial, Milne, Milne, at gmail.com, and ask him to send you that survey. If you would like to have input on the New Commonwealth Schools, make available to other people your information and your experience. My goal in the New Commonwealth School is to take this as nationwide and as far into Canada and in different areas as we possibly can to help people solve the problem of education in the world today. I really think it's the answer. And I'm very committed to the cause, and I will be Tiffany and I are talking about actually applying to teach this at the Harvard School of Alternative Education and starting to get a voice out there now that we have had eight years of experience with what it does for communities. We'd like to take it out to the world, and your input is going to be super, super important for all of us, and it's already changing lives. It's already changing the course of education in the United States and the world. And I'm hoping that you'll help me do that. And I'm also hoping that you will become better and better at being leaders in your Commonwealth schools. Leadership is hard, isn't it, Christina?
Yeah, it is hard.
It's really hard because you have to start thinking clearly, and you have to start making decisions that would that for a group of people that you wouldn't normally have stewardship over, right? That you come together.
It is really hard. It's a lot of work, but I think the rewards are huge. You know, I said to my husband one time, I can't remember, it's a couple of years back, and all kinds of things happening, probably with my own homeschool and who knows what. And I said, I'm going to quit. I am tired of this. I'm going to be mediocre. And I went in a tirade about, you know, I would just be so much easier to be mediocre. And he said to me, you couldn't live with yourself. You know too much. And so it is hard, but the alternative is hard too.
The alternative is worse, actually. The
alternative is worse.
Anything. It's not changing anything.
No, it's not.
So.
And if you want something different, if you want growth and you want to find mission, it's hard work.
Yeah, it is. It is. So thank you so much today for being with us today. I hope you feel like you've learned some things, and contact us if you need anything. Remember that we are offering all kinds of training for you to get better and better at leadership. And if you need anything, please contact us, and we will be happy to assist you in mentoring you in any way we possibly can. Thank you. You can contact Tiffany at Tiffany D. Earle at yahoo.com, and you can contact me at Anelady, A-N-E-L-A-D-E-E, at theparentmentor.com. And Christina, are you interested in having people contact you if they need help with your Commonwealth?
Sure. It's Christina with a C-H dot Wardrop, W-A-R-D-R-O-P, at gmail.com.
Very good. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next month. Tiffany, was there anything you wanted to add?
You guys are wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on the call.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.